Amen. Thank the Lord for that cross. Thank Him for that empty tomb. And thank Him for forgiveness. Thank Him for new life in Him. Thank Him for a do-over, a fresh start. Thank you for forgiveness. Anybody in this place ever screwed up really, really bad beside me? I noticed Glenda was the only one that didn't raise her hand. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, how about turning to Mark chapter 10, verse 46. 10:46. Now in the preceding verses, Jesus was being serious, and he told his disciples he was about to go into Jerusalem and what was about to happen, that he was going to be beaten and killed. And here he is being serious and telling the truth. What's the very next thing that his disciples do? James and John, they said, "Lord, we want to ask a favor." He says, "All right, what is it?" "Well, we want you to let one of us sit on your left hand and the other one to sit at your right hand. Places of favor." Kind of sounds like church folk, don't it? Here the Lord trying to be serious, and we all worried about self. Well, when the other disciples, other church folk, saw what they had asked, they got all bent out of shape. Kind of sounds like 21st century church. And Jesus kind of had to rebuke them, put them in their place. They left, and we pick up in verse 46. "Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you.' And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered, and he said unto him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' The blind man said unto him, 'Rabbi,'" or teacher, or Lord, "'that I might receive my sight.' Then Jesus said unto him, 'Go your way. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." I'd like to talk to you for just a few moments tonight about how to break out of a rut. Here blind Bartimaeus is sitting by the highway, begging, just trying to get by another day, just trying to make it, just trying to survive, just trying to exist. How many of you know people like that? I'm not even going to ask you how many of you are like that. I know a lot of people like that. They have this just get by, just survive day to day, just a defeatist mentality, but something inside of them still wants to make it. What can we learn from blind Bartimaeus in this brief story? The first thing that we need to learn is that you need to assume responsibility for your own life. You see, Bartimaeus, no doubt, had heard of this Jesus who'd been going throughout the region and had been doing things like multiplying fish and bread, healing sickness and disease, calling the dead forth, walking on water, rebuking storms, casting out the demons, miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. He'd heard because it was noised abroad. How many times have you read that phrase in the New Testament where it was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house? That Jesus was at the synagogue teaching, that Jesus was on a hillside, and how the whole town would look like a ghost town because everyone wanted to go to this man Jesus because they'd heard of the miraculous things that happened in his presence. Bartimaeus, no doubt, was one of those people because it says when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out. My friend, wallowing in the mud, living in a self-pity party, beating yourself over the head, living in the past, as Josh opened up the service tonight, wallowing in the filth of failure will not take you where you need to go. It will not give you satisfaction, peace, joy, love, comfort, no more than things and stuff will. We try to fill our lives full of all kinds of toys. I saw a bumper sticker. You've seen it. It says the only difference in men and boys is the price of their toys. Nothing wrong with things. Nothing wrong with stuff. Nothing wrong with having money. Lots of it. A lot of people have a wrong mentality about money. It's the love of money that's wrong. It's the root of all evil. Nothing wrong with money or things or stuff. But unfortunately, too many people amass wealth and possessions and things only to find that they're still empty, still missing something. Solomon, I love to refer to Solomon. Y'all know how often I do that. One of the wealthiest and wisest men that ever lived. Go study Solomon. Learn from him. He was so wise. Lived in a house it took 3.5 years to build. The bricks and the walls were inlaid with silver. He sat on an ivory throne. He had shelves that cooked around the clock. Not shelves, chefs that cooked around the clock. Let me straighten that out. I may be country, but I know the difference in eating wood and eating good food. He had an entourage of 40,000 charioteers that accompanied him everywhere that he went. He had a stable of the finest horses. Hear that, cowboy? Some of the finest horses in the world. He had a fleet of ships in every then known sea. He was the John D. Rockefeller, Bill Bates of his time. He had 300 wives, God help him, 300 wives, 700 concubines. He said, I know what it's like to have servants born in my house. I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say, come, and he comes. Sick him, come back. He said this, nothing that my eyes desired did I withhold from them. That's a pretty good picture of somebody spoilt rotten. Not really. Just successful. But yet he says, it's all vanity and vexation. For I have learned, Solomon says, the whole duty of man is to love God and to keep his commandments. It's the only thing that will bring peace. The only thing that will bring joy. Understand the difference in happiness and joy. Happiness is an emotion based on an event or a circumstance. I was with Philip Owens many years ago, I might add, when he won her open. All teeth, white hair. Happy. Glad to win that money. True, ain't it, Philip? But guess what? You don't win at every rodeo. I've seen him get in the truck and throw his hat on the dash, mad at the world and frustrated that his heelers missed, that his horse ducked off, or he broke the barrier, whatever. Happiness is a temporary emotion. That's why joy is what's to be sought after. What is joy? The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's an inner peace. It's an inner satisfaction. It's an inner confidence that you know that no matter what life brings, no matter what goes on, no matter how bad things to appear, that in the end, when the smoke clears and the dust settles, guess what? I'm standing. I'm still here. Everything's going to be all right. So we've got to become like blind Bartimaeus, and we've got to assume responsibility for our own lives. Quit blaming our deficiencies, our shortcomings, our failures, our inadequacies, our sins, our habits, our lack, our this, our that. We've got to stop blaming it on people, systems, the government, school, skin color, born on the wrong side of the track. Well, it's just my DNA. It's just my genetics. My whole family's always been a bunch of drunks, so I'm going to be a drunk. Stop blaming and take responsibility for your own life. Secondly, we see in verse 51 where you need to clarify what it is that you really need, because the Lord said, what do you need? What would you like for me to do? What is it that you need? Doesn't God's word tell us that we have not because we ask not? You see, he already knows what you need, but we need to come to him. Lord, I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness of your sins. Lord, I need a job. Got laid off down at the plant. I need a job. Will you help me to find favor with the right place so that I can be the best employee they've ever had? Lord, I need to do something about my health. Will you help me to be able to discipline myself enough to push away from the table and to begin to exercise? Lord, will you help me with this addiction? Lord, will you help save my marriage? Will you help my wife to forget the past and quit bringing up my failures from 20 years ago? Lord, will you help those crushed emotions that she has from when I hurt her so badly? Lord, you see my point? You've got to let your need be made known. Not because he doesn't know it, but he wants you to voice it. Let's yourself hear it. Let's the devil hear it. Now, we're verbalizing what I'm believing for. What will it be that you need the Lord to do in your life? Thirdly, we see in verse 51 also, you've got to believe you can change, because when the Lord asked him, what is it that you want me to do? He says, that I might see, that I might receive my sight. Change is possible. It's not always easy. It's not always a divine miracle that takes place. Sometimes it is. Sometimes you have to fight the fight of faith to work through that thing in your life that's a hindrance, that's a hook, that's a stronghold, that's a weight, so that you can run the race that the Lord has set before you, the way that you should run. Sometimes, let me back up and say this first of all. Believing that you can probably constitutes as much, if not more, than anything else to your success, be it in athletics, at the workplace, and I better stop right there. You think a fighter on the way to the ring doesn't believe that he can win? How many people do you know, other than my brother, that I can't wait to get in that ring so I can get my brains beat out? No. Believing you can, it's important. Because with God's help, all things are possible. There's nothing too hard or difficult for God. That's His word. But He needs for you to put works to your faith. Faith without works is dead. You need to do everything that you can and then watch Him do what you can't. Too often in the church, and it don't matter what denomination it is, we've developed a government-subsidized spirituality about us that we just expect God to just do everything. That's not overkill. That's fact. You know, I don't consider myself to be old. I'm 63. And I remember when people would take their vacations to go to youth camps and cook in the kitchen for the kids or to be counselors and things of that nature because they didn't have any money, but they'd give their time. But nowadays, where is my money? People are reaching there and, I'll give you $20, just don't ask me to do anything. Everybody's busy. Everybody's entangled with the cares of life. Everybody's living a fast life. Everybody is stretched to the max. But you got to get your focus to a place of beginning to believe for the change in your life, and you've got to commit yourself first to God, and then you've got to commit yourself to the cause of what you're setting out to do, and fight the fight, and don't stop short of victory. Then in verse 48, we got to stop worrying about what other people will say. Because you notice as he cried out the more, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That word mercy means don't give me what I deserve. Grace is his giving us what we don't deserve. His mercy is His not giving us what we do deserve. I need lots of mercy. You hear me? Thankful for His grace, but I need a lot of mercy. And what happened? People begin to say, man, shut up. Hold on. Don't interrupt. He's walking down the road. Here's what I've learned. There are two things that stop Jesus in his tracks. One is the cry of the desperate, Jesus, stops him in his tracks. The other is the touch of the sincere. The woman with the issue of blood, how she just believed that she could just touch the hem of his garment. And when we're sincere and when we're desperate, Jesus, who's seated at the right hand of the Father, stands up and he looks down and he says, here's somebody that's got my attention. They mean business. So stop waiting for ideal circumstances. Stop worrying about what people say. Next point is stop worrying about ideal circumstances, because keep in mind, this guy's still blind. When he gets up with all these people pressed in around him And they're saying, he's calling for you. Come over here where he's at. Blind man. So he does something bold and dramatic. He casts away his garment and he sets out for Jesus. And he didn't delay. He didn't put it off. He did it now. We talked a little bit last week about New Year's resolutions. Now 80% of the people fail in their resolutions within the first 30 days. And at the end of the year, only 2% have been successful in their resolutions. But we gave you a formula in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Sermon on the Mount that will guarantee you success in life. I challenge those of you that weren't here to go read those. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Study them. Learn what they are. They address everything. From murder to giving to forgiving and giving to adultery and to salt and to light. It addresses everything that will be pertinent to your success in life. Go learn them, put them in your heart, and live them, and you will experience a successful life. You're made overcomers by the Word of God, the blood of the Lamb, His Word. So why not prepare to be successful? Why not get the word hidden in your heart so that you don't sin against him? Why not get the word hidden in your heart so that you will have bullets in your spiritual gun to fight the devil with? Why not be armed and dangerous in the might and power and knowledge of God's word and his will for your life? Why not? If you want to be successful, overcome, not be the victim, but be the victor, why not prepare to be victorious? Why not prepare to be the winner? I'm going to ask you if you would just go ahead and bow your head for just a few moments.